Hi, thank you, Miss Karina. That was a lovely song. It's good to be back in church. This weekend, I had the opportunity to take my two older boys out camping. Now, you say, how was it? I didn't enjoy it very much, amen. It was one of those. Now, I love my boys, but I'm just not a camper. I mean, where is the air conditioner? I mean, where's the air filter, the humidifier? And my eyes are bloodshot red right now because it's supposed to happen, amen, when you're not a camper. You don't sleep very well. You hear the bears coming through, and you're thinking, man, that sounds a little bit less intimidating than my wife, but still, I'm scared. You're paranoid about everything, but needless to say, I'm back at home. Then we caught some frogs, and we brought them to my backyard, and I decided to release them in the backyard. I had a little section for them, and I figured that they would make this their home, and this morning, they're all gone. They decided to make something else their home, and I'm researching. I'm thinking, well, this is a water spot for them. I'm willing to risk mosquitoes breeding in this little tub here just to give them a good environment, and they were gone. So this morning after church, I was a little bummed out because I was hoping to raise them for my kids there and just have a wonderful father memory. This morning as I pull up from church, I stayed here a little longer to finish this message. I saw one of the big frogs that I caught on my front lawn. It was amazing. So as any brave dad, I called CJ. I said, pick that up, man. I ain't touching that thing. Good night. So I spent all afternoon finding someone on OfferUp to sell me a fish tank, going to get the fish tank, only to realize that I am not strong enough to carry this on my own anymore. Having my 7 and my 8-year-old help me carry the fish tank out of the thing, set it up, and I'm here tonight. So what am I saying? I might be very short or I might be very long, all right? So I'm going to be looking at my notes here. But needless to say, it is a privilege all the time to be in church. This morning, I was impressed. It was hot. I was about to walk home from church, amen, midway through the service, but I saw our members staying here, so I figured the assistant pastor should stay in church as well. Can you please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, please? Deuteronomy chapter number 6, Love Pacific Baptist Church. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now, this passage of scripture is a very, please stand with me, I'm sorry. This passage of scripture is a very popular scripture, very common passage when studying education or what we would refer to as Christian education. So I do want to reference it this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 1 through 12. I did forget my phone. I heard there was a shot clock somewhere. Is there a shot clock here? Is that thing off? Is that thing gone? Pray for me, amen. We're going to go off. Are you going to set that up for me? There you go. For their own good, amen. The people need it, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1 through 12. The Bible says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments with the Lord, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. So we obviously see the important things that God wants us to learn as Christians. His commandments, his statutes, and judgments. That ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. A lot of benefits we're seeing here from learning what God wants us to learn. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Again, another priority that we see God wants us to get down. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Got a question for you. What's in your heart? Is it to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Better question, what's in our children's heart? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It seems that God wants us to be about his commandments, his statutes, loving him, fearing him, not just moments in the week, but all the time. All the time. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, always before thee. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. He is serious about this education. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open up thy word, not only today, Lord, but to study for this message. I'm not sure how many people understand the privilege it is for a preacher boy, for a preacher, to be able to study the Bible and to give to the people what you'd have for them. And I really do pray, dear God, that tonight would be taken seriously. I pray that tonight we would receive something from thy word, that we would cast out all the cares. Oh, so many things, dear Lord, are calling for us. Our affections, our appetites, our entertainments. So many things. But I pray for the next several minutes here, you would allow us to be captivated by the truths of this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. The title of this message this evening is God's Plan Through Christian Education. By the way, God has a plan for our life. We need to understand that. God has a very specific plan, not only for us as parents, as adults, but for our children. And I want to talk about that tonight. Education, which is the theme of what we're talking about tonight, is commonly defined as the process of receiving or giving systematic instruction. It is more simply defined as the process of learning, how we learn things. A young boy once approached his father to ask, "Dad, why does the wind blow?" To which the father responded, "I don't know, son." "Dad, where do the clouds come from?" "I'm not sure, son. Have you been there before?" "Dad, what makes a rainbow?" "No idea, son." "Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions?" "Not at all, son. How else are you going to learn?" Now, that son didn't learn very much, okay? I don't know about you, but I'm in that phase with my kids right now. They commonly ask me things. The other day, we're at the ocean. "Dad, how come some parts of the ocean are darker than others?" And my wife would even ask me things. And you know what I tell them? In this day and age, you don't have to ask Dad. Ask Google or ask Siri, amen? You'll be fine. As a matter of fact, education is a wonderful tool, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to be educated. Many of us have received benefits from education, whether if it's the problem-solving skills we learn from math or learning how to read and write. These have all been useful tools in everyday life. Education has also played an amazing role in my life in helping me to fulfill God's purpose. I mean, I'm a principal, for crying out loud. I think we can all agree that education is important, but what exactly does God say about education? Or what is his plan for or through education? We are losing anywhere between 70 to 88% of our children by the end of their freshman year in college. Now, this doesn't mean that they're not necessarily in church, but what this does mean is that they want nothing to do with the spiritual. By the way, I'm all for people being in church, but I also understand that there are many people in church just because they have to be. It could be pressure from a mom. It could be pressure from a dad. It could just be the fact that they want to try to keep themselves plugged in such a way where they can still get some of God's blessings, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's plan. 70 to 88% of our children. The main reason for this is because they're developing what we call a secular worldview. Can you say secular worldview, please? A worldview is how we view the world, how we look at life. And by the way, everybody has a worldview. For example, an orange, for example, is seen by many people. It's on the table here. A botanist, when he views that orange, will classify it. An artist, when he sees that orange, sees a life, a still life, and draws it. A grocer sees an asset and inventories it. A child sees lunch and eats it, amen? How we look at life in any given situation is influenced largely by how we look at the world. Our worldview determines how we define reality and also how we relate to one another. Having a secular worldview means that we value the things that the unsaved value. In other words, we place great emphasis on life in this world. We place great emphasis on finances because it would seem that money would make us truly fulfilled. We place great emphasis on comfort because it would seem that this would keep us safe. We don't place importance on the next life. A biblical worldview, on the other hand, means that we view life through the lens of God's word, amen? We understand that God created us for a purpose, for which is his purpose. We place emphasis on learning the Bible, developing a deep relationship with God, and ministering to both the lost and other Christians. You see, if I view my life as only purposeful and meaningful in this life, why would I minister? Why would I waste time giving a Saturday going out soul winning? Why would I waste my money giving it to the church and supporting missionaries on the other side of the country when in reality the most important thing to me is what's going on in this life? Of course I'm going to put into new cars. Of course I'm going to save up as best I can to have a bigger house, which there's nothing wrong with those things. I would love to have a house one day, and I'm actually saving for one. Pray for me. I'm about 1% toward my down payment, okay? I'm climbing heavily. However, having a biblical worldview means that we place importance, understanding that our life is for His purpose. I was created not to live for self. I was created not to put all of my resources into building my wealth, but in building His kingdom and living for the next life. How we view life will determine how we live our life. A biblical worldview means that we place more emphasis in the life to come, not this one. We understand that this world is not our home. We are citizens in another country. When you factor in what the Bible says is important, along with the biblical worldview we ought to have, it is clear, I believe to all of us, that the only education God would want for our children is a Christian education. I think that's pretty obvious. About 90% of well-meaning Christians, though, send their children for education to public schools. They do this based on, number one, curriculum. Parents have been convinced that public school curriculum is neutral and harmless and will not lead their children away from God. If public education was neutral and if it was harmless, it wouldn't forbid the mention of God. It wouldn't have kicked God out of the public school. It wouldn't have kicked the Bible out. It wouldn't have kicked prayer out. It isn't harmless. It's harmful. We must realize that public schools today are not like public schools were when we were in school. Can I get a witness on that? By the way, let me say this. It wasn't great when I was in school. As a matter of fact, there are still some memories that are seared in my mind as a 38-year-old trying to live his life for God. Unfortunately, there are things that are still seared in my mind, things that I have learned, things that I have done with or through public school and public education that I can't shake. But today, what I dealt with in the 90s and the 80s, Nothing compared to what our kids are going through right now. As a matter of fact, public schools today are at the cruel mercies of many terrible court decisions, right, that make them instruments of force in the hand of the LGBT community and other disastrous and evil organizations. And they want nothing more than to destroy the traditional home, and we're sending our kids there. So they send their kids based on curriculum. 90% of parents send their kids, Christian parents send their kids to public education based on cost. Parents figure since public education is free, it's the obvious option. And by the way, sure, it may have no cost as far as financial expenses go. But what about the cost of having our children taught by godless people? What about the cost of having our children taught that God does not exist? There is a heavy cost. What about the cost of having our children surrounded by others that do not share the same values and fear for God, where they can be instructed for hours on end that evolution is our origin and that Christianity is nothing more than a fictitious fairy tale that insecure people use to make themselves feel better? And by the way, that's what they say about us. Oh, I'm strong enough. My kids are strong enough. We teach values in the home. Yes, but how many minutes do you really choose or use to teach your children in comparison to how they're getting indoctrinated at these institutions? Let's be careful about this cost issue here. They do this based on career. Christian parents send their kids to public school based on career. Many parents have already predetermined the future for their children. Isn't that nice? By the way, I'm all for planning, but what about God's plan? Predetermine the future of their children without considering the will of God for their lives, never once considering it. They do not place value on full-time Christian service. And by the way, let me say this. Since I've become principal, since I've been in ministry, you got to be very careful what you preach on as far as a Christian school about ministry, because you never want to pat yourself on the back or make it seem that you're looking down on others. But let me say this. We ought to place great value on those in ministry. great value on those in ministry. And not because I'm in ministry, it's by the grace of God of those before me that have led the way, that have basically said, serving God just on Saturday or Sundays was not enough for me. I want to give my whole life to God. And that's what a full-time minister is. Somebody that has wholly and fully developed a passion for God, that they wanted to serve God full-time. And by the way, place great emphasis on that, parents. Place great emphasis on that. I thank God that our pastor placed emphasis on that. I thank God that Pastor Esposito placed emphasis on that. I thank God that the people that help our students in the Christian school place emphasis on that. That's why our church is here. Thank God for that. And by the way, everybody's important. But let's not downplay something because we have an agenda for our children. I've heard many things. Oh, you know what? That's for them. You want to be like them and not be able to have a place to live? And you want to be like them? Oh, you mean them and they're trusting God? Oh, you mean them that are willing to take pennies on the dollar to teach our children? Oh, you mean them, right, that are trusting God right now and their priority is not built into nice things, but instead they rather live a sacrificial life so they can love and minister to our kids hours on end? Oh, yeah, them. The problem with this is the definition that God has for success is much different than the world's. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, the only place that success is recorded in the Bible, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, the word of God, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You want to talk about prosperity? You want to talk about true success, and then thou shalt have good success. God defines success as having a deep relationship with God and knowing his word and meditating on it. So here's my question. How successful are we? Oh, you don't understand. My daughter, she just graduated from this place over here, and I'm hard work, good. And by the way, we need more people to get good jobs and make good money to support the work of God, to build his kingdom. But let me say this, God doesn't say anything about accolades. God doesn't say anything about degrees. You know how God defines success? How well we know the word of God and our relationship to it. Unfortunately, you won't learn any of this in public school. If we continue, it has often been said, to send our children to Caesar's institutions, we need to stop being surprised when they come back as Romans. Well, I don't understand, Brother Charlie, ever since my daughter or my son went to this college or went to this place. And let me say this, you can still live for God going these places. Don't misinterpret me. But we got to understand what comes with the territory. We got to understand the risks that are involved. Okay? But you don't understand, man, Brother Charlie, I don't know what happened. My daughter and my son went here now. They don't really read their Bible anymore. They sit in church and they look like they're just a shell of themselves. And they look like, man, they're bored with church and they can't wait to get out of church. And they're undecided as to how many services they want to go to the week, and they're not involved anymore. Well, what do we expect? We're sending our children to Caesar's institution where they're being fed Caesar's food, where they're being brainwashed and told that these are the things that are important. Finances and humanism and comfort, when the word of God teaches the total opposite. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you've lost some of your kids and their passions have gone astray. But we got to take some ownership with some of the reasons why our families are losing their desire for God. From K to 12th grade, children spend 14,000 seat hours in school. The average Christian family spends less than 30 minutes a week talking about spiritual matters. Now, I'm not here to ask you to raise your hand, but think about it. How much time do you spend in spiritual matters with your family? And how are you going to combat? And how would I combat our children being taught in a public education system? All public school students will be taught the unbelievable theory of evolution. Few will learn that there is more evidence to support creation, that God created man, than evolution. The purpose of teaching is to transfer knowledge from the teacher to the student. This is why it's important who is teaching our children. By the way, do you know who's teaching your children? Do you know their lifestyle? Well, it doesn't matter, does it? Because I don't know about you, but when we conversate with people, it's only natural for their beliefs to come out and influence the things that they're talking about. When you talk to me, a couple things you'll hear about: food, God, my children, and my family. Man, it's just natural. Or frogs right now, right? It's just natural. You could talk to anybody. You can give them a topic to preach on, and they will utilize their influence to teach that topic. You got to be careful who's teaching your kids. We may get more than just a curriculum. Luke 6:40 says that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be his master. In other words, that disciple, when they come to maturity, they will be just like their master. They will be just like their teacher. I don't know about you, but I place great emphasis with who influences my children. Who is teaching them? Who is spending time, hours on end, every single day? And it doesn't matter to me that they graduated from Bible college. I've been hearing that a lot lately. Well, you know, Brother Charlie, I'm afraid I would put my kids in school, but, you know, their highest degree is Bible college. What a shame. I wonder what God's going to think about that. Shame on them. And by the way, let me say this. Where are the educated people with the degrees signing up for ministry? Where are they? I take them. Oh, Brother Charlie, I got a degree. Well, come on. Let me tell you how much the package is. Okay? And you know, we do provide health insurance. The more that I think about it, Brother Jeremy, it's called Medi-Cal. Come on now. Listen, some people are embarrassed to say it. I'm living for God, man. I paid my taxes. I still do. That's the health insurance right there. Oh, you want dental insurance? It's called Dentical. Why do you got that gap in your teeth? Because Dentical don't cover braces for adults, man. We're going to take a love offering after this. By the way, God's good. God's good. Where are the people that are qualified? Saying, I went through all this schooling to get qualified, and I'm willing to go get what Christian school teachers get. And I'm willing to go teach those kids. Let me say this. It is true that our teachers graduated from a Bible college, which I place great value on. And it is true that it may not be accredited, but let me say this. I'm glad that I've got 21 staff members with a budget that probably couldn't even pay 3 people at your workplace. I'm glad that I've got them. I probably shouldn't have said that, Pastor Myers, but hopefully you're watching another service. Let me say this. I'm glad that they're willing to say phooey on the other jobs. I'm willing to serve these kids because I love them. So let's think about that maybe before we criticize them. Let's think about that before we pull them in the hallway and yell at them. And by the way, moving forward, let's make sure we keep our Christian school solid, not just from the student perspective, but the families, the teachers, everybody. Let's be on the same team. Commercial break. Ew, Sequoia got me going here. We often say we want the best for our children. But what is the best? Listen, I rented a Jeep Wrangler, unlimited sport 4x4. I'm coming from a 1996 Camry, folks. Missing a door handle 75% of the time. The air conditioner worked, and for whatever reason, the last 2 days, it's been the 25% of the time that it doesn't work. I took that top off. I had Nano go with me. We were going to take the doors off, but I didn't have a screwdriver. I felt cool for 3 days, brother. I felt real cool. I had someone take a picture of me. That was like kind of vain. Let me be vain, man. I just never had a car like this before. It was bright red. Every time I saw a police officer, I'm like, I wonder if it's true. Red attracts the police. But then when they pull up, they see me. But nerd doesn't. Amen? Nerd doesn't. Nerd repels them. It was crazy. I got pulled over by a police officer because they thought we were hunting or something like that. I felt good being pulled over. I'm like, yeah, give me a ticket. I want to show everybody. I felt real good. You know what? When it comes to vehicles, I know what the best is, and it's not what I have. But when it comes to life, what do we think is the best for our children? Is it attending an Ivy League school? Is that something we can brag to God about? Go to prayer, dear God, my son is going to Harvard. Aren't you excited, dear Lord? Is that the best? Is landing a high-paying job, is that truly the best? You want the best for your kids, and I'm all for that. I want it too. But is it a high-paying job in light of what the Bible says, in light of a biblical worldview? Or is it training our children to love God and live for his purpose? Is that the best? When we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and we have to give account for our children, for CJ, for Audrey, for Andy, for Alani, for Benjamin, when I stand before God, am I going to really want to go before God and say, Lord, they graduated, they got this degree, they got these accolades, and they had this size house, and they have this much in their bank account. Is that going to get God to stand up and applaud? Or is it going to be that, Lord, they didn't have much, God, but I tell you what, we're serving you. We're serving you. I don't have much in my bank account, Lord, but I can tell you there's quite a few people here that I've try to witness to. And Lord willing, they're here. They're here. Psalms 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." The word heritage means loan. My children are not mine to raise for myself. They are on loan from the Lord for me to steward so that I can raise them for his purpose. Are we raising our children for his purpose? Money should not be the primary consideration. The will of God must be the driving factor. And I'm afraid that so many of us, when our kids are young, we think we can get away with it by not teaching them the importance of having the right worldview, by not teaching them the importance of living for God and reading their Bibles. And then we think that maybe we can catch up later on when they're teenagers. And let me say this, I've learned this, and my kids are still young. And I get it, I don't know anything about parenting, and I'm fine with that. And my kids are still young. But I've learned one thing for sure. You can get away with a lot of things when your kids are young. There's a lot of compromises. There's a lot of horrible things that can go on at home, and we think that we can just tell our kids, hey, just forget about it and you'll be fine. But in reality, when they grow up, they remember the things that are important in their home. They remember how many times dad read his Bible. They remember how much mom and dad loved each other. They remember the importance of church in the family. They remember what type of worldview was represented in that home, if it was secular, if it was biblical. Oh, they remember. And maybe that's why they want nothing to do with God, because they've been fed Kraft cheese their whole life. By the way, I thought Kraft cheese was the only cheese out there until I started the provolone. I don't even know this stuff. Cheddar, whatever. I don't. Okay, I got lost there. Okay. All these weird cheeses out there. Gouda, because it's good. Okay. I don't know. But let me say this. Let's not be surprised when our children drift away from God if we don't treat them correctly as a loan from God. The answer is pretty obvious in our passage. God's desire is that our children are to be educated through Christian education, not secular. Now I get to the point. That was my long introduction. I'm going to fly by this, Lord willing, very quickly. Tonight I'd like to share 3 points that reveal God's plan through education found in our text that we read. First of all, the reason for education, verses 1 through 2. Let me read that again quickly for you here. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all the statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. The reason for Christian education, the first thing that we see in that passage, the reason for education in God's eyes is to fear God and keep his commandment. Bottom line, fear God and keep his commandment. The first two verses in this chapter make it very clear the things that are important to God. I know some people are getting uncomfortable right now, and that's okay. I'm just reading the Bible, amen? That's all I'm doing. To fear God and keep his commandments. If we are not where we should be as Christians, it's because we don't have a healthy fear for God. You know, the truth of the matter is, one of the reasons why children are so open about their disobedience to their parents, to the fact that they would even talk back, especially in front of others. How many guys that makes you uncomfortable? I don't know what it is, man. A kid acting up a little bit is fine, but when they're, no, and people are watching, I'm like, something's going on in that home right there. You know why that kid is willing to do that? Because they don't have a fear for their parents. There's no fear. Whatever it is that you are capable of doing, dad and mom, I don't fear. I'm willing to step out and embarrass you by speaking back at you in front of other people, because whatever it is that you have done to discipline me means nothing. I can handle it. But the truth of the matter is, a child that fears his parents, hey, son, I want you to put that away, because if you don't, it's not going to be good. Yes, dad, here we go. Put it away time. What's the difference? Fear. That's the difference. It's fear. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is why we were created. This is how we are defined. By the way, oftentimes the reason why we don't fear God is we treat God's laws like we treat the laws of the land. You know, I can get away with doing 80 miles per hour. It's not like a police officer sees me, right? I can go ahead and steal this or do this or cheat on my taxes or do this. No one's going to catch me. I'm good. I'm fine. I can stick this in my pocket, and if the if the grocer sees me stealing something, they'll probably just give me a little warning. But in reality, if we brought back capital punishment, we'd all be a little bit more careful about what we did. And by the way, let me say this, God sees everything. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We need to fear God. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We love God, then let's fear him and keep his commandments. This is the goal of education. So not only is the reason for education to fear God and keep his commandments, but also to prepare for the future. We see at the end of verse number 1, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So they didn't possess this land that it's talking about yet, but when you do go to possess it, this education will help you. Keeping God's statutes, keeping God's commandments, fearing God, it will help you wherever you go. And by the way, it is true, education isn't just for today, but it's also for the rest of our lives. The Bible says that you may do them in the land whether you go to possess it. God has a land for us to possess. It's his purpose, that land flowing with milk and honey. And God knows that in order for us, number one, to possess that land, not only for ourselves but for our children, we've got to be able to have the right mindset of education. Next, education helps us prepare for adulthood. Education is important, but only under the umbrella of God's purpose. We need education to minister in God's work. I needed to know how to read this Bible to you. Be pretty embarrassing to have someone reading all this for me. I needed to be able to know how to type. I need to be able to know how to speak for the most part. I'm sure there's a lot of grammatical errors in my sermon tonight. We need education to make a living within God's purpose. I understand that. God gives us jobs not to live for self, though, but to steward these jobs for his purpose. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. If you have a job today, God gave it to you. If you have strength to work that job, God gave it to you. If you have titles at your workplace, God gave you that job. But why did God give you that job? For his purpose. For his purpose. Education is also another reason for education is the multi-generational vision. Verse 5 through 9, let's read that quickly. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. In other words, education is not only so we can learn it, so we can perpetuate it in our families. It is important to me and to God that I teach my children to fear God and keep his commandments, to place great emphasis on that. That is how we can ensure a multi-generational vision. We're not just responsible for this generation, by the way, we've heard it the last several weeks, but the ones that follow. But very quickly here, and this is not a sermon on this topic, but how can we affect what happens in the lives of our great-great-grandchildren? Let's think about that. By first affecting what happens in the lives of our children. See, I can't think about my great-grandchildren or my great-great-grandchildren or even my grandchildren if I lose my children. Let me say this. Losing our children should not be like losing marbles or losing a toy. Losing our children should not be like losing keys. Losing our children should not even be like someone stealing our car and the great sorrow that comes from that. I believe that there needs to be a genuine passion for keeping our kids within us, within our homes, within the will of God. How much passion do you have in securing your children for the next generation? And let that affect the way that we raise them. See, a lot of times it's kind of like we've spent so much emphasis on our careers and on our luxuries and on fun, but we don't really think about, man, that attitude right there, I might lose her. Oh, man, that pattern right there, that little response she gave me about church, I better do something about it. You know, I'll be honest with you, recent days, and I try my best to raise my children with my wife for God, but there's been a couple of times I've seen things in my kids, Brother Joseph, and I'm like, I got to deal with this. It's important to me. You know why? Because I love them. Amen. It's not okay. Take my car. Take my home. Take my finances. Take anything that I have, but don't take my children. I need them for God's purpose. Maybe we'd be more careful who they hang out with. Maybe we'd be more careful where they're educated if we love our children the way that we should. Number one, the reason for education. Number two, the responsibility of education, verses 7 to 9. I'm not going to take time to read it. Read it. But the responsibility of education does not fall on the government. 90% of Christian parents hand over their training duties, to the government. We have been subconsciously trained to do this, to hand over our children to Caesar's institution. Why? Because everybody else does it, so we should do it. It has been patterned this way for many years, and many of us have not broken that pattern. The responsibility actually falls on who? The parents. We need to take ownership of our children. These are my kids. God has a purpose, and my goal is to get them from here to there, and it matters the vehicle in which I use to transport them. It is our responsibility to get them in an environment where they can have a Christian education. Our main purpose as parents is to train our children for God. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from them. It is sad that many parents spend more of their time and resources training their dogs than training their children. You know, one parent said to me, what are we training our kids? What are they, animals? And I said to them very quickly, every job that you worked at and every job that I worked at, they pulled us aside for 1 to 2 weeks and we had to get training. Don't tell me that dogs are the only ones that get training. It's because we have our priorities wrong. Well, how are my kids gonna learn to read their Bible? Train them. How are my kids gonna learn how to sit up in church? Train them. You looked at me this morning, it was a bunch of this. Sit straight. I'm talking to you, Leslie. No, just kidding, all right? What are you doing? Get up. One of my kids had a little bit of a rough time, if you're watching me, which I've seen people watch our family. It's okay. Had a little tear in their eye about something. It's training time, amen. Right after service, we trained them. Amen. We trained them. Good. The responsibility falls on us. Our main purpose is to train our children for God, train them to fear God, train them to keep his commandments, train them to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, train them to be disciplined and responsible. And I'm thankful through our Christian school, that is the desire and the purpose and the mission of our school. We want to train them through all these things to be disciplined and responsible included in that. And by the way, that's why it's important. If your kids get in trouble, don't let them throw things at you, excuses. Like I said, our teachers, get this, you want to laugh? We've had our teachers called racist. And they're minorities, amen? We've had our kids, oh, picked on, you're just, and I'm like, man, you can get paid a lot more money to pick on people. And I just have to, oh yeah, you're. I'm going to make sure that we're going to get them right. They're not going to be racist anymore. I don't get it. Let them learn to be disciplined. Let them learn to be, whenever they're, if there's an issue, you know, they over-absence or they get a bad, you don't always have to come up with excuses because they're never going to learn from that. They have to learn that cause and effect. If I'm lazy, if I choose not to go to school, then this is what's going to happen. And in reality, many a times, maybe we've been catered to, and in the real world, where there's a job, that boss is not going to be mommy or daddy in most situations. And they're not going to care that you're 5 minutes late, and they're not going to care that you've been a little tired, and they're not going to care that Zoom was too hard for you, and they're not going to care about any of those things. What they're going to care about is, am I willing to hire this type of person or keep them hire and pay them the wages that they're expecting? Where's the responsibility? Where's the discipline? I didn't touch that frog one time. I told Sam, he didn't want to touch it either, by the way, brother. He looked at me and said, I don't want to touch it, Dad. I said, well, you don't want to touch it. We're going to let it go. Got no time for this. Oh, right away. Okay, Dad, I don't want to let it go because he's got to be responsible. By the way, CJ, that tank I read up today, American bullfrogs, 2 times a week, got to clean that thing, all right? How well have we been training our children? Lastly, and I'm done, the rewards of education. The rewards of education. Verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. You know, the benefits of Christian education for our children, it's for our own good. It really is. Our children benefit, and we benefit when we have God's words hidden in our heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In other words, having scripture dominate our children and dominate our families and dominate our mind keeps us from that which is harmful. Our children benefit when they learn the truth of creation. Our children benefit when they are rubbing shoulders with men and women that have surrendered their lives to God. Listen, our staff, they are not perfect. By the way, I can speak for the college too. No one's perfect. But I tell you what, we just want to serve your families. We just love God. That's all we want to do. They're going to benefit by rubbing shoulders. Our children benefit when they are accountable to make the right decisions, when they're put in a situation where, what are you going to do, cheat? Or are you going to be honest? But so-and-so threw the paper in the form of a paper airplane. And well, you know what you have to do with paper airplane? You got to open it up. Make the right decision. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, being married for nearly 10 years now, making the right decision only helps me in my marriage. Making the right decision only helps me as an employee. Making the right decision only helps me as a father. Our children benefit when they're expected to be responsible. We've had parents before of high schoolers. You know, they get demerits for not bringing their pencils and all those things, right? I can't believe you would give a demerit to them. Oh, it's responsibility. And the moms and dads would pack their pencils for the kids. Say, hey, whatever, to each their own. I'm not packing a pencil for my 11th grader. Can I get a witness here? Oh, yeah, they might forget to eat. Let me go ahead and help them out here. I don't know if we're on the same page or not. Good night. My ears still not pop from the mountains. You're laughing at me, and I may not, you know, I have not, anyways, we're moving on here. Our children benefit when they're educated in an environment that promotes the, and by the way, they get mad at the teacher for picking on their kids because they're getting demerits for not having a pencil or not having their books. How about we bring our books so we can learn? You know, I've gone places before where I did not have my Bible and I didn't learn much from the sermon. How are we supposed to go to class and learn English if they don't have their books with them? I don't know. Figure it out, Brother Jim. You guys are a Christian school. Okay, great. We'll figure it out. We'll give them a demerit. The rewards of education for our own good. Next, the promise of God's blessings. We've read, we've seen it all. The blessings that come with obeying his commandments. House full of good things in verse number 11. Wells digged. Losing my voice here. Vineyards and olive trees promise to be full. I love that, amen. That thy days may be prolonged, that it may be well with thee. Increase mightily. We see all this in this passage. You get wonderful benefits. You want your kids to be blessed. I don't know of any parent that wants their kids to be miserable. You want your kids to be blessed? Give them a godly education. When we obey God's commands, we unlock the promises he has already given to us. And by the way, whether we're living for him or not, God's given us promises. God's given us promises. Which promises have we unlocked? And which have we missed out on? If our marriage is full of distress, maybe we missed out on some promises. By the way, let me say this. Marriage is intended to be a good thing. It is. But I'm not foolish to think that even good people don't struggle with their marriages. God has a promise for you. He wants you to be fulfilled in your marriage. And it's possible. If our children are openly disinterested in God, maybe we missed out on some promises. And by the way, let me say this. Don't put it above you, moms and dads, and do it tonight. I don't want to be so forward here. But love your children enough tonight. And I don't care that they're listening to this right now. Some moms and dads, as I have done, you need to pull your kids aside and say, I'm sorry. For whatever reason, you don't have a passion for God, and I'm sure that I'm responsible for some of it or all of it. And I want to let you know, and you may not take this seriously, but I love you too much to continue and pretend that I had nothing to do with it. To pretend that the times that maybe I've been critical of the church, to the times that maybe I made church seem so insignificant, and I'm going to apologize to you right now. And I know Brother Chim said to do this, and I'm doing it because I want to, because it ain't easy. And maybe some moms can go to their kids tonight, their daughters and their sons, and say, you know what? I'm taking responsibility for you. I'm not blaming it on anybody else. I'm sorry, but can you please do me a favor, however old you are, 15, 16, 12, 10, 20, whatever it may be, can we please not miss out on any more of God's blessings? Can we please unlock everything that he has for us? It seems, if we seem to be lacking the joy of the abundant Christian life, maybe we never positioned ourselves to unlock some of God's promises. God has promises that he has already given, but it is our job to fulfill the prerequisites that he put in place to unlock these promises. I don't know about you, but you can compare the abundant Christian life to many things. But one of the closest things, and it doesn't match the abundant Christian life, is like going to an incredible buffet with so many wonderful fresh options. I'm going to put Miss Karina on the spot here. Her and her husband took my wife and I to a place. I don't know where it was at. I forgot. Sorry. It was like by the ocean and a lot of rich people that were walking around like this. And I tried my best to walk like that. I just couldn't. They parked at a free spot, but I said, I'm paying for a valet because I want to feel it. Hey, man, I want to feel the luxury. It was like $7 just to move my car two spots. I'm like, man. But anyhow, we went in there, and I forgot the name of the place, but there was crab legs. Can I get a witness? And I think they cracked it for us. My wife doesn't even do that, amen. I have to peel stuff for her, if anything. They had ribeye steak, like a roast, where they can shave in. There's well done for the people that don't understand food. And then when you get into the middle, the medium rare, where all the juices are at. Oh, man. And then they had different types of sushi. And then they had fresh, raw oysters. And if you're grossed out, you don't know nothing. They had a lemon there just to kill the remaining parasites. And then they had all these different types of the Italian bar. I don't know, fancy enough, but they have the different crackers. I just, graham cracker, man, but they had like five different crackers. And then they had different types of ham. I just know like bologna and ham or something like that, turkey ham. But they had like all the salami and pepperoni and fettuccine. Oh, but that's cheese. And they had all that, the different cheeses. And they had different types of toast, different soup, clam chowder and lobster mac and cheese and or whatever it was. And they had all these different items. And I couldn't help but just, whoa. I'm so glad my wife and I brought our Ziploc bag. We made it worth it. But let me say this, standing at that spot, eating like a king, it made me feel this is what a foodie's life is all about. Can I tell you something? You know what God intends for you and your kids? Is to have that same reality, but spiritually. Where you stand, you look at your kids. You look at your children, you look at your in-laws, you look at your grandkids, you look at your wife, your husband, you look at your ministries, and you just go, God has been good. I'm so thankful that God allowed me to get here. And by the way, good parents, godly parents, don't just want that for themselves. They want that for their kids, right? My kid, my oldest is 8. I'm already praying about who he's going to marry. My daughters, we're not praying about that yet, amen. We already know the answer. Can I tell you something? I want the best for them. But how are they going to get the best, as the Bible interprets it, if their minds and their passions are being filled by everything and anything that is outside of God's will? And they have a secular worldview. Listen, I want my kids successful. Some of our biggest givers in church are those that are graduated from secular institutions, and they are amazing laymen. By the way, that is not a bad word. Layman, it's a wonderful thing. Our church is sustained by faithful laymen. I'm not belittling that. It's biblical. But I would love our children, laymen or full-time ministry. I would prefer full-time ministry. That's just my passion. To have the right mindset. To have the right education. To make sure that Christianity isn't a phase, is something that will last in eternity. And by the way, when they stand before God one day, go ahead and brag on your children that are doctors and your children that are professors and brain surgeons and lawyers, even though we will be meeting with a lawyer this week, amen, to make sure that everything goes okay with our school opening and all that, which it should be fine. Go ahead and brag on them. But I'm going to brag on my kids, whatever God calls them to do, the fact, Lord willing, oh God, please, that they had the right education and they practiced Christianity the way that Christianity is meant to be practiced, fully devoted to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for giving me the strength to communicate tonight. Thank you for the mercy of your people that though I don't have all the experience in the world, dear God, they would still sit and listen, cheer on with amens, with nods, with smiles. Oh, God, they don't understand. I am that boy that grew up in this church, that came to Christian school as an eighth grader. Many struggles along the way, but you preserved me, God, by your grace and given me these opportunities. I am one of them. I am no better than them. But I pray, dear God, that you would allow us to have the right mindset about life, about worldview, about your plan, about education. And may we place the right and correct emphasis on the right education. My desire tonight was not to offend anybody, dear God. There may be some tonight, I have not looked around, that may be in a secular college or university. My intention is not to belittle them. Actually, I pray that they can sustain their passion for you, and that they can prove to be a mighty warrior for the cause of Christ, and that they would support this work at our church with the resources that you will give them. But I also am not ignorant to think, dear God, that there have been many casualties. May you help us, please, to cherish our children, to value them far beyond what the world values. And may we place great emphasis on living a life for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.